This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann. Almost 50 years ago, on the 21st of April in 1972, University Malaya established its Faculty of Law, the first in Malaysia's history, thus beginning the development of legal education here in the country. Fast forward 50 years later in 2022, how much has legal education and the profession changed in Malaysia? So here to mark this occasion are Dato Associate Professor Dr. Johan Shamsuddin Haji Sabarudin, Dean of the Faculty of Law at University Malaya. He's also an alumni of the faculty. And joining us as well is fellow alumni Firdaus Husni, who is now the Chief Human Rights Strategist at the Malaysian Centre for Constitutionalism and Human Rights. Thank you so much to both of you for joining me today.
Thank you.
I'll start with you first, Dato' Johan. You know, tomorrow, 21st of April, will be the 50th anniversary of the establishment of the Faculty of Law, as I mentioned now, which is also the first of such a faculty here in Malaysia. Could you share more about the significance of that occasion? And, you know, how significant was it for it to be established as the first Faculty of Law back then?
Yes, Yuan. In 1972, we were trailblazers in more ways than one. Prior to us setting up this law faculty, the only way that you could become a law graduate or lawyer was to either go abroad for 4 more years, 4 or more years to complete a 2-stage law qualification in England, LLB plus bar in law, or you could do it externally. And then go overseas and finish it off there. There was nothing, there was no way you could get a law degree from a university in this country. So the Faculty of Law removed this need for such foreign independence and for such a double degree. So we offered the first 4-year comprehensive program in Malaysia. And this resulted us in being a very remarkable institution at the time. And we managed to train our own people, although based on the common law, mm-hmm. we could adopt a Malaysian spirit, a Malaysian application of this law. And then our legal system thus far was partly dominated by people who were trained overseas. So for the first time, we will be able to train people to be cognizant of Malaysian law, and this resulted in the people who graduated became our lawyers, became our legal officers, and later became judges, and they were now people who are fully trained in Malaysian law. And third significance of this is that the law degree became affordable. We democratized legal education, and so the elitist nature of the legal profession was set aside, and people could study at a local university to become a lawyer, and that was something that we contributed to. And fourth, finally, of course, this is very important for the government and for the country. We save millions in foreign exchange. So our history. We began in 1972 with the first batch of 50 students and who graduated in 1976 and who now form a very important part of the legal profession. And in subsequent year, we developed this into a postgraduate. And also we along the way we set up the external. I mean, you might may have heard of the Bachelor of Jurisprudence External. That mm-hmm. is an external program of the faculty, and that is currently we're having about 200 over students. So we've gone a long way ever since 1972, and in terms of graduates of the first LLB program, I think we've got about 5,000 graduates all over the place, all over the world now. And now occupying very important places in government, in terms of the judiciary, in terms of the legal profession.
Hmm. I'll turn to you now, Firdaus. You know, you're an alumni of the law faculty. Take us on a trip down memory lane. You know, share a bit on what your experience was like back then when you were a student. You know, what drew you to law, and what was your experience like as an undergraduate at the UM's Faculty of Law?
Okay, thank you for this down the memory lane question. Well, I did my law foundation elsewhere, And then for my degree, I got an offer from UM, the Faculty of Law. And the first time I got the offer, I still remember I was feeling both nervous and excited. Nervous and excited because, as you've mentioned earlier, it is the oldest law school. And, you know, it had a very well-established reputation and it has produced many illustrious names. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, you know, it is quite daunting to see yourself there for the next 4 years. And then you hear people telling you competition is tough. Some people may find it, you know, very, very daunting to keep up. So anyway, I went and the 4 years that I spent there was a very good memory and also a good foundation for me. I would even say that the 4 years degree program that I went there was, you know, the classes, the discussions, discussion in class, outside of class, those are what spark my interest further when it comes to current issues, the socio-political development in the country, politics, race relations, the relation between law and society. All of that, I would say I managed to cultivate a further interest, and also it sparked it really sparked curiosity and for me to explore that further as a career option, in fact, all of that through my 4 years in UM. Yeah.
Mm. Now, I get this is a bit more personal, but do you mind if I ask you how long ago were you there at UM?
not as long as Dato, of course. Okay, I started my degree program in 2005 and I completed that program in 2009. So 2005 until 2009, and that's about more than 10 years ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, as Firdaus alluded to earlier, Dato' Johan, you are also an alumni of the faculty yourself. You know, could you share a bit about your time back then as an undergraduate student, and how different was it then as an undergrad, you know, versus now when you are dean of the faculty, when you're teaching the next generation of students?
Well, there was there's quite as if you know say there's quite a long time ago. It was in the Stone Age, I think, and things of course were a lot different than it is today. I remember we didn't have semester systems during that time. Now all the education system is dominated by the semester system. Mm-hmm. So at that time it was a term system, and what happens in the term system is that you study, you go to classes in the first term and the second term, and exams are only coming right at the end of the year. So in the major part of the year is spent actually enjoying yourself rather than actually really worrying about exams and all that. It's different now. Students are much more concerned about assignments, and it's non-stop. And then exams is around the corner, tests is around the assignments and things like that. So it was a bit more relaxed. We were able to sort of learn and reflect on what we studied, rather than be concerned about it being examined the next day. So there was a lot more fun involved, and that is as far as I can remember. I can remember the fun bits. I can't actually remember. I blocked out the sad bits. But the fun bit was that, yeah, it was great. And I remember during that time also was the time when I forgot to mention this, law faculty also was the first to develop and create the CLP, and during that time I was a student, and there was a problem of getting graduates from the UK to qualify there, so we created the CLP, and then we were exposed to foreign graduates coming to the faculty to study. But the difference, as I asked just now, is that, as I mentioned just now, it's much more hectic these days. Students are very much preoccupied with classes, with all kinds of academic activities, which they must, because of the nature of the semester system, there's a lot more pressure to work So I see that as a taking away time from the students to actually digest and reflect on the studies that they have gone through, you know. And as an educator, I find it is kind of disadvantageous, and the students, you know, not able to do that. But because there's so much emphasis on getting meeting deadlines, and of course students now are a little bit more different, as you know, with younger generation now, there's more of a sense of entitlement. I might get into trouble saying this, but we in the old days we were more or less like very happy whatever was thrown our way, because we came from a background whereby studying at a law faculty, this really was something which was a big thing. And we were very happy with whatever we got. But we got quite very good, we had very good lecturers, we had got very good teachers, and a very good environment to study in, whereby there was more time to react and to deal and discuss with the law. And that's very important in a program such as law.
Let's continue our conversation after a quick break. I'm speaking today to Dato' Associate Professor Dr. Johan Shamsuddin Haji Sabarudin, Dean of the Faculty of Law at University Malaya. Oh, he's also an alumni of the Faculty of Law. And joining us is another fellow alumni, Firdaus Husni, Chief Human Rights Strategist at the Malaysian Centre for Constitutionalism and Human Rights. And we are commemorating the occasion of the 50th anniversary of the establishment of the Faculty of Law. We'll be right back after a few messages. Keep it here on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann. Today on the segment, we are commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Faculty of Law at University Malaya, and that falls tomorrow on the 21st of April, as the faculty was established 50 years ago on that date in 1972. Now joining me to commemorate today's occasion is Dato' Associate Professor Dr. Johan Shamsuddin Haji Sabarudin, Dean of the Faculty of Law at University Malaya, as well as fellow alumni Firdaus Husni, Chief Human Rights Strategist at the Malaysian Centre for Constitutionalism and Human Rights. Now before the break, both Dato' Johan and Firdaus were sharing a bit of their own experiences as undergraduate students at the university, and how much legal education has changed since then. Now, something you mentioned before the break, Dato' Johan, about how, you know, studies back then were quite different for students, right? Now, it's a very typical Asian thing, I would say, you know, for a lot of people to think that, oh, going into law is a good career option. You know, it's you have your career planned out for the next few years. You would likely have a steady income. But what do you think should be the aims of legal education? Because like you mentioned earlier, right, Dato' Johan, it should be about learning, not so much about chasing deadlines, about exams. So do you think we need to change how we think about legal education? You know, is it about learning or earning, or is it about knowledge? What are your thoughts on that?
As you said, it's not legal education has taken a much more broader perspective now, as we become more globalized, and we need to make our students aware of that. So it's not about how much you study and how much you cram into your heads for the exams, because that's how our education system has been designed. Yeah, students come into the university wanting to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And most of them, you know, get into university because they are that. They're efficient students. They're straight A students. They get into university because they got a very fixed formula of how to succeed, which is you cram and you study, you memorize, and then you regurgitate during exams. That has always been the mantra of our students. So when they come into the university, especially in the law faculty, they expect to want to do the same. And that is something that we try to change at the faculty, because you cannot approach the studies of law in that way, because law has got to be contextual. You've got to be to understand the environment in which it is operating in. So students tend to still do that, you know, in the first year, second year, they tend to do that. And then suddenly they find that they're not no, they adopt the same formula of studying, cramming, and regurgitating, and they find that the grades don't reflect that, because that's not what we expect when we look at the when we examine answer scripts and look at the performance of students in all the academic assessments. We want to see students who are thinking, who are able to apply, and who are able to be flexible in their approach, because that is what the discipline of law requires. And when they don't do that, then they don't get the grades that they want. And then they start becoming very, very upset and very, very unhappy, because all their lives they've been getting A's and suddenly they're getting C's. So it's a wake-up call. And fortunately, we are able to do that throughout the four-year process. And so the students are able to be, we tend to create lots of activities, mooting, student exchange programs, international activities. So we want to make that the students aware that the study of law is not about just cramming and answering exam questions, but it's about molding the mind. This is what we do at the faculty. It's mold the mind so that whatever situations they are confronted with when they graduate, they will be able to adapt. They will be able to answer. They will be able to perform. And as we go into a world which is so much has advanced over these years, there's so much areas of laws which have developed, and we want students to be able to adapt to this, not just local graduates but global graduates, to achieve great things in the international arena as well.
Now, Firdaus, you've spent a number of years, about 7 years, I understand, as a lawyer before you moved into the civil society field. From that perspective, then, what do you think students or young lawyers should be thinking about when they are studying law? What is it, just about becoming a lawyer, or should it be more than that?
Right. Well, I want to start by saying that there is no right or wrong answer as to why one wants to do law.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask 10 students, I think you'll get 10 different answers. One will say, oh, my dad asked me to do it. Oh, I just want to get rich. Oh, I want to be a politician. Or, I want to contribute to society. There's no right or wrong answer. If it's your reason for doing it, good. But when we talk about legal profession, and the aims of legal education, looking at it personally, I would say that my legal education in UM, and then my formative years as a young lawyer, those have helped me define my sense of purpose, and also where I am within the society and the role I play. And that was why when I first, after completing my 4 years, I then, did my privilege, and then I went on to do my legal practice. I like the fact that as a lawyer, you, and with that added knowledge, mm-hmm. and skill that you have, you can make a change.
Mm-hmm.
A change on the life of the people around you, and the reason why I now decided to change field into civil society, it's actually a continuance from that, because I want to make a change to a larger subset of the society. So that's how I look at this. Also, it's also interesting, and I remember asking this to a friend. I say, back then, when you thought of law and being a lawyer, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
So I have this friend who said that in her mind, back then, it was about completing deals, transaction deals in boardroom.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, being a lawyer is about submitting a case in court. It's interesting that people have different views. But the point here is that when you talk about law, there are so many areas of practice out there. And if you're talking about Malaysia, for example, we actually have yet to develop some of these areas of practice to enough for it to be a specialized areas of practice. Yeah. So, for example, in Los Angeles, entertainment law, you can make a living just by doing that. But not here. A lot of the lawyers have to do different areas of practice for their practice to survive. So that's just one example. But I do feel, we are heading in that direction.
Yeah. What you think law is usually depends on what you're exposed to, right? I feel like, because I remember, you know, back then when I was still thinking about what to pursue in university, my idea of what law is was based a lot on the TV shows that I would see. You know, you would see criminal cases or those sort of crime procedural shows. And that's what I used to think law is. And then when you actually understand it, this, like you say, Firdaus, it's such a broad field. And like you said as well, Dr. Johan, you know, we're seeing it becoming so globalized and there's really no limits to it. But I guess like coming to the point of then when you finish graduating, right? It feels like nowadays we see a lot more young lawyers speaking up about what they want to see in the field, the way, the kind of support that they need. I'll ask you first, Firdaus, you know, from your experience, how well does the industry support young lawyers, you know? Because I guess educating them is one thing, right? You want to make sure that they have the necessary support and knowledge to also make it out there in the field.
A couple of points. Mm-hmm. I see it as a good thing, mm-hmm. that we see more young lawyers speaking up. And I would even say that you know, these confident young legal minds are a product when you don't just focus on your tests and exams during law school. You know, when you got involved in activities, when you got involved in, you know, mooting competition, for example, these are all what help to develop your soft skills, mm-hmm. That, you know, of course you need very much later when you start your legal profession. So that's one. And I would also want to say that much of who I am today and what I am doing today, I owe it to the legal education as well as the legal profession. Yeah. In my personal experience, there is a support structure, and there was a space for me to grow and to gain the right exposure and to explore and excel in a lot of things. And I'm not just talking about areas of practice within my law firm. I got involved in bar council activities, and I was then entrusted with a number of responsibilities, and I then represented the Malaysian bar in some international events. Mm-hmm. So all this goes to show that there is a space for young lawyers to grow. Having said that, I also observed that a lot of these are personality driven. Mm-hmm. So that means if you don't have a supportive pupil master, a supportive partner in the law firm that supports your development, professional development, you may not be able to explore these opportunities that I mentioned. So what I am trying to say here is that while personally I had that support structure, I do think the current system could be better improved to support more young lawyers to develop their soft skill as well as, of course, their legal knowledge and skills.
Hmm. Coming back to legal education, Dr. Johan, you know, what are some of the challenges that lie ahead in continuing to develop this field and continuing to, I guess, grow the next generation of lawyers, right? Especially, I guess, what you've seen, you know, what the faculty has had to go through in the past 2 years because of COVID-19. I guess, what are the particular challenges that you see lie ahead in developing legal education here in Malaysia?
Well, legal education is a journey, not the destination. How we view legal education is a much more holistic, manner. And therefore, our challenges are might be a bit different from what the legal profession has and what Firdaus mentioned just now. Because I think the legal profession or the industry out there wants our graduates to be industry ready. That means they should be coming into the industry running already. So that is not something that we believe in. We believe that the graduates' minds have got to be molded first, and that's how our curriculum is designed and developed, mm-hmm. and the kind of activity and the kind of regime that we have in the faculty is to gear towards that. So we're quite confident with that. We're not going to be apologizing and saying that we're going to dance to that tune, or saying that we want to pump everything into the legal curriculum, so that you know all aspects of practice and things that the students should know. It's going to be taught in. That's not the way how legal education works, because they can learn that out there. The moment if their minds have been molded in the correct way, if they've been taught the correct way, they will be able to adapt in whatever situation. They will be able to pick up very quickly the things that they need to pick up outside there. So therefore, at the faculty, we are going to focus on areas of law, which what is going to be required out there. We would like the students to be aware of these areas, like ADR, for example. You know, our students are all designed to, because we know that the courtroom setting is not the only way to resolve conflicts. Mm-hmm. There's so many other ways whereby you know decisions and resolutions of problems can be made. So we want our students to be aware of that, and we are looking at all kinds of evolving areas, like you know, like cryptocurrency, science and technology, biosafety laws, air and space law, artificial intelligence, green banking. There's so much out there, but what we're doing is we're going to make our students aware that these are the areas that's available, and to make them ready to be able to do all this. And you mentioned just now about the pandemic. Yeah, yes, it has changed our outlook quite a bit, as we have been in the past 2 years. Yeah, we have students who have never set foot in the faculty. They've been students for over 2 years and they have not set foot in the faculty. And they don't know how the faculty looks like even. Mm-hmm. And we've only met the lecturers through online. And that is something that we've tried to adapt to. And I think in terms of our teaching techniques, and it's something that has changed us in a way that we will never go back to the old ways again. And in the sense that we are going to be much more online ready and in all aspects. So we found that it has been quite useful tool to teach as well. And we will continue to use this in terms of digitalization and open source platforms. Funding, I have to mention this. Funding has always been is now a huge challenge, because universities are now required to look for our own funding, because you know economic situation may not be too good. Mm-hmm. So we have to this is another major challenge for universities and the faculty to look for funds. So we've got a few programs that we have in terms of generating income, and we've been lucky that that the law faculty is sought after in terms of taking up courses like the Bachelor Jurisprudence External, the Legal Education Extension Program, and so many other courses that we're conducting, and that is an income generation tool. So this is something that is considered some of the challenges that we at the law faculty are engaged in.
I guess to move on from that, right, to look a bit more at the positives, what would you say have been some of the best achievements or even most notable alumni of the faculty?
At the present moment, there's a galaxy of our graduates in the education, social, political and corporate world. It so happened at present that the heads of the three branches of government, there's the three main branches of government, are all our graduates. Mm-hmm. The Prime Minister, Sayyid Sabri, is a graduate. The Chief Justice of the Federal Court is Tun Tengku Maimun, is our graduate. And the Dewan Rakyat Speaker, Datuk Azhar Harun, is also a graduate. So in terms of those people who are helming the three main branches of government, they are all our graduates. And we've got many other people in both the corporate and the private sector, and also in the public sector, who are our in an academic world. We've got so many people who have been from our faculty, you know. And Syed Faruqi, Professor Faruqi, who's always on this program as well, is one of our most notable persons in the law faculty at the moment, who are contributing a lot to the knowledge of in the legal knowledge. And in the past, we had Professor Ahmad Ibrahim, Professor Visu Sinadure, Professor Nick Rashid, Rafael Salim, Arif Yusof, Professor Kolek T, Professor Mibika Mora, Professor Balan, can name so many people, Professor Mehrun Siraj, Professor Goodell. All these people have been part of the faculty and they contributed. And I must also mention Almarhum Sultan Azlan Shah, who our building at the faculty is named after Almarhum, and Almarhum was very much, very, very instrumental in the way that the faculty, because he was our external examiner, and it was always, Almarhum was always very interested in how the faculty developed. So there you go. I mean, and I must mention this also depends on whether you accept ranking as a measure to determine how good a university is or not. But as you know, University of Malaya is in the top 100. And also in terms of subject ranking, the law faculty is also ranked, and we are also in the top 100 as well in terms of the law in the world. So this is quite significant, because to put that into perspective, if you look at India has 1,200 law schools. And so you can imagine how many law schools there are in the world. And we are there ranked there up there in the top 100. And in Southeast Asia, we're just only behind NUS. So this is something which we are mindful of. I mean, it's not something that we are going to be obsessed about. No, we are mindful of the fact that this is an important measure in which people look at. So these are some of the rankings, some of the things that we've achieved. Mm-hmm. Besides, of course, as I mentioned earlier on about in terms of how we educate our students in terms of molding character. And if you come to the law faculty, you study at the law faculty, you must be able to adapt to a very competitive environment. And here, the fact that everybody must mix around with each other. We make it compulsory for every student to, and they must go overseas. We make it required for students to at least spend some time overseas doing student exchange or internship or mooting or conferences. At least some time spent overseas. So, and the faculty supports this. So in order for our students to have a more international outlook. And the students are also made to at least take part in at least one mooting competition in their 4 years here. So this mooting develops their character, develops their mind. And you can find that in the faculty, the mooting culture is very much embedded. Everybody is thinking about when is the next mooting competition, how am I going to get into a mooting competition, and how well did we do. And we've done very well in mooting competitions. I think if we look at our records, I think the law faculty UM has done tremendously well in all international mooting competitions.
Sounds like a very competitive environment there. Now, before we end, you know, I would like to get a final message from both of you. I'll start with you, Dr. Johan. You know, what would be your message to the next generation of lawyers, you know, the law students that are in university, you know, at UM now or considering to take up law? What would be your message to them?
Yeah, I want them all to be like Firdaus. good work in terms of building the understanding of constitutions and helping those people who are challenged and of course that is something that we hope all our students to be, that they will go out to become very good human beings and they will go out help, because that's the thing that they will tell us. I mean, you know the interesting thing is that when we interview all our students before they get into the faculty, and the almost consistent answer throughout whenever we ask, why do you want to become a lawyer? Oh, we want to help people. And that has always been, you know, something which they say. Okay. But that doesn't really normally pan out in a later, when they really become lawyers. And they forget about the fact that they wanted to become lawyers, why they wanted to become lawyers in the first place. But there's something that we try to drum in. And this is where it is very important, because if you want society to become better, if you want the nation to become better, the people who are influential must have their heads screwed on correctly. So we want them to be socially conscious. We want them to be honest. We want them to be innovative law graduates who understand and care about the country, care about the fact that this country cannot develop without we ourselves making effort to do it. So the more people who realize this, the more people who understand the constitution, like what Firdaus is doing, and that's very important. Understand the Rukun Negara, what the Rukun Negara spells out. It is so vital. If more and more people understand this, and we hope that the law students will be the group of people that will be the catalyst for this, who will generate this knowledge, then I think our society and our country has a very good and very bright future.
And what would be your message to, you know, the future generation out there, the future lawyers, the young lawyers?
All right. Firstly, thank you very much for the kind words, Dato. very undeserved of me. I agree with what Datuk said earlier, that when you talk about wholesome legal education, it shouldn't just be about the test and exam.
Mm-hmm.
I would even say that what shaped my thoughts today and why, you know, I am able to then cultivate a critical reasoning skill, it is both the courses I had through the 4 years and the learning environment I had when I was in UM. I mean, the diversity that I was exposed to, it's spark my curiosity to, you know, learn more and be more educated about race relations in the country, for example. Being involved in the campus politics, it then led to me having my early conversation about academic freedom, about freedom of expression.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, it's also when I decided to take media law as my elective, I think in my third year. It's sparked my interest about, you know, freedom of the state of freedom of expression in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we also talk about, I remember the 1988 judicial crisis. That was actually in one of the courses that I took. I think it was in the constitutional law module, you know, and that led me to reading more about judicial independence and how we as, you know, as law students, as lawyer, can also contribute towards strengthening independence of the judiciary in Malaysia, for example. So all of this, you know, what I remember and what I practice and adopted until today. So I would also want to say that when the way I see legal education and what it has shaped me, to me now, 10 years on, it is now for me to then give back to the society, give back to the law faculty as much as I can within my capacity. And I want to reiterate what I mentioned earlier, that what the legal education has provided me, it has helped me find my place in society. It has help define my sense of purpose, and I hope it will for the listeners who are also considering legal education. Thank you.
And on that note, thank you so much for joining me today. I've been speaking to Dato' Associate Professor Dr. Johan Shamsuddin Haji Sabarudin, Dean of the Faculty of Law at University Malaya, as well as alumni Firdaus Husni, Chief Human Rights Strategist at the Malaysian Centre for Constitutionalism and Human Rights. And we've been commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Faculty of Law at University Malaya, which falls on the 21st of April, that's tomorrow. If you missed any part of today's show or any previous Live and Learn episodes, you can download the podcast on bfm.my or on the BFM app. I'm Lim Suen, and this has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.